What's up, everybody? Welcome to our regularly scheduled episode of Empire Sports Talk. It was good to do a midweek episode to kind of cut some of the content and be able to do a little bit more. I wanted to do a regularly scheduled episode, but I was thinking earlier today, about possibly doing, because I did Wednesday's episode on my lunch break, which allowed me to kind of space out release of the content a little bit over the week, made it easier on me as it's a one-man show here doing this podcast. I love doing it. But sometimes it can be a little much. Doing the midweek episode was great. Thinking about possibly doing the episodes midweek from here on out. Or if you guys would be interested, and let me know in the comments if this is something that you would pay attention to or watch, about doing maybe an Instagram live once a week or so to during my lunch break from my 9 to 5 job. And be able to talk directly to some of you guys. If you guys would watch that or would be interested in seeing me do that, let me know, and we'll see what happens in the future. But for now, this is the regularly scheduled episode of Empire Sports Talk. I'm going to try to keep it a little bit shorter this week since we already released an episode. But there were a few things that I wanted to either touch on Wednesday and didn't get a chance to, or things that has a few updates here and there. So we're gonna do it. We're gonna do a short episode for you today. So the first thing I want to touch on is on Wednesday I mentioned, and thanks for the great feedback on social media for on this, but this and other content. Where, by the way, our social medias are growing thanks to you guys. I really, really appreciate it. I work very hard to do this podcast, and it might not be the most polished, and it might not have great graphics or music yet. But it's a passion project of mine for the last 10 years, and I appreciate those of you who are paying attention to it. But the first thing I want to talk about is I mentioned on Wednesday the MLB jersey issues with the smaller numbers and the see-through pants and everything like that, and how Michael Rubin felt the need, the CEO of Fanatics, felt the need to come out and stand and say, we didn't have anything to do with it, we were just doing as we were told. And we were told we were doing everything right. And I urged them to tread very carefully to not draw attention to the things that they say they weren't responsible for because of the things they are responsible for and what they're doing to the sports merchandise community. And I wanted to touch a little bit more on that as that has come from a very personal place for me. I worked there for several years, and it became very evident to me very quickly that this was not the company they appear to be. And it's somewhat gratifying, honestly, to see the public start to realize what this company has done to the merchandise. Obviously, some of you guys won't be able to know what they do to their employees, and I won't call out specific things that didn't directly happen to me for the anonymity of those that it happened to, but say but stuff happened, and trust me, I could write a tell-all book. I probably won't, at least not anytime soon, but stuff happened, and the things that I can speak directly to, they first of all, let's start with their slogan, by fans for fans. I worked with a lot of people that didn't watch sports unless they had to. I worked with a lot of people that couldn't name an athlete in a certain sport unless they had to. A lot of what I did, the department that I worked in, was watch the events for which something might get put live on the website, such as a bowl game or a Super Bowl or something like that, to where as soon as it's over, you push the product to the site. That was part of our jobs. And there were people that would watch the sporting events because they were paid to watch the sporting events and knew nothing about what they were watching. And that happens. But first of all, by fans, no, because many, many people couldn't care less. For fans, as in for the consumer, for you guys. That was an even bigger lie, because It was, and as you can get on the website now and you can see, oh, you know, the prices are $600 for a jersey, for a team jersey that doesn't have a player name on it, or $500 for a player jersey, or whatever it is. The prices are absurd. So they don't care about you. Never mind the fact that if you pay the $500 for that jersey, it very often shows up incorrect or damaged or the wrong team. Or just go look at the Twitter account that I mentioned last week, and I won't say the name of Michael Rubin's company from here on out, but you know who I'm talking about. There's a Twitter account that I mentioned on Wednesday that has the name of Michael Rubin's company followed by a derogatory term. It's pretty easy to find, where I have had conversations with the person that runs that account, and that person gets many, many, many direct messages and many tweets about products that have gone wrong at this company. And he sends them out there, and he lets people know. And I've commented on some of those and be like, this is just the tip of the iceberg. It's, as I mentioned on Wednesday, it seems that since they got this monopoly, they have stopped caring about the fans that they claim to be doing it for. They've stopped taking responsibility for any and all issues. They, you know, and then Michael Rubin standing up there and saying, you know, we were just doing what we were told, blah, 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 blah. Maybe you were, but you are a company of your own, and you have standards that you could choose to uphold and say, hey, these aren't good. Like, can we work on this? Because I've seen the Nike and the other company have meetings and fix issues before. So it's not like, oh, Nike calls the shots, they tell this other company what to do. Sometimes yes. But these companies are whether people know it or not, are roughly the same size. There's no alpha in the situation. It's a partnership. You have conversations with your partners. So Michael Rubin's company could have stood up and say, oh, this is unacceptable. Or, you know, Nike should have caught it ahead. Anyway, Nike should have been like, hey, this isn't right. This isn't fair to the fans. You know, and you hear professional athletes all the time say, like, in when it came up with the NBA stars resting when they're healthy and stuff, there were many athletes that stood up and say, or in other sports as well, that say, I play for the people that may only get one chance to see me play because they spend their hard-earned money. Being that player saying that, being fully aware that, you know, the construction worker in Iowa or the accountant in Detroit doesn't make millions of dollars to go to every game, or doesn't drive the fancy car, or live in the big house, or whatever the case may be, that they might only can afford one or two games, or they might can only afford one jersey for their team. And so you got to give them what they're asking for. And what I saw from the company, I saw it kind of starting. I saw the writing on the wall while I was there. Listen, I knew within 6 months that this was not, they were not who they appeared to be. I stayed for 4 years because the job market just wasn't good. I wish I'd left sooner. And I've never regretted it for a day, not being at that company anymore. That being there every day for 4 years, I woke up and the first thought in my head was, no, I don't want to do it. I can't do it. I can't deal with these people. I can't deal with whatever's going on that day. And that was not the headspace I needed to be in. So I've never thought about that job since, except for as they continue to grow and continue to screw with people's hard-earned money. It became more and more evident that I needed to say something, and that I have this platform, however small at this time, that I needed to stand up and plead with fans, and plead with those that actually love sports and actually love their teams and actually love sports merchandise like I do, to stop buying from this company. Go directly to the other manufacturers that make products, 47 brand, Homage, old retro. Get your stuff from there. It's great quality. But I can tell you that the moment that I knew that I had to go, I had made an ally at the company who was high up, and I had my dream job within the company in mind. This. And I said, hey, you have a lot of exclusivities with athletes. You have a lot of things. You have everything you need to set up maybe a podcast, maybe some different kind of ads. Maybe because before that, their ads were just as generic as humanly possible, and they still are. And so I pushed for these things for years. And one day, I had a conversation with the guy, and he said, "Oh, we started to change the way that we did advertising, the way that we did this. We're open to ideas like the ones you've talked about." And he gave me credit for it. He said, "You were right all along." Because we had had a conversation about a year and a half earlier. And he said, and I said, "This is what you need to do." And he said, "Oh, things are working, so we're going to keep going this way." And a year and a half later, he goes, "You were right all along." And I said, "Listen, like I'm things aren't going great in this other division." And mind you, this was my last ditch effort to save my sanity at this company. And I said, "Is there a spot for me in this new kind of campaign, in this new kind of marketing area? Is there a spot for me?" And he said, "Let me sleep on it." And he was in close contact with the head of my department that I was working for at the time. And he told me that he had spoken to her, and they knew that I wasn't happy within the company, but that I had a lot to offer and all this sort of stuff. And he said, "Let me sleep on it." And I left that call feeling like I could taste my dream job. Like, I feel like it was within reach. And I kid you not, the next day, this company put me on an performance improvement plan, gave me all these excuses as to why my performance wasn't up to par, why I needed to do this and fix this and fix this, which is, I'd never heard any of it before. But the day after, I was told, "Everything's good. You might be on your way. I've talked to your manager, blah 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 blah." The rug was pulled out from under me. And during the course of my time there, I was blamed for not taking the lead on projects that I had no business taking the lead on. I was scolded for taking the lead on projects where nobody else stepped up, and then being like, "Hey, like I had to take the lead on this." Scolded for doing that. There was nothing I could do right at this company. I was not the only one that was mistreated. And so when I finally walked out of that building for the last time, the weight that was lifted. So don't believe this company. And know this is, you can take it as the ramblings of a former employee or whatever. But as somebody who loves sports, and I hope you understand that if you've been listening or watching this podcast for a long time, as somebody that loves sports and loves what they can stand for and loves the fan experience and loves to hear stories of fans and players and the real life stuff that goes on behind this game, just know that I want what's best for sports. I want what's best for the fans. I want what's best for the consumer that buys the jerseys, that buys the tickets, that buys the stuff to support their favorite teams. And some companies out there don't care about you. They don't. There are companies that do, like some of the ones that I mentioned. Quality products, decent price. But there are some that don't. There are some that care about power and money, and they'll do whatever they can to get more of it. But I don't want to spend too much time on it. Just know that I hope you understand I'm coming from a place of caring about the fan. And if I'm ever able to, I've been toying with the idea of, they might not take anything seriously, but what if I started a change.org petition to get the major leagues that have exclusivity contracts with this company to drop them for the on-field stuff? Would the leagues listen? I don't know. I would need the support of you guys to do that. So let me know if you would be on board with something like that. I do want to get into the actual sports because there are some really cool things that happened within the last couple of weeks that I do want to talk about in this shorter episode, since it's the second episode of the week, and I realize that I've already talked about the first topic for 15 minutes, so we'll see how it goes. MLB The Show 24, Major League Baseball's flagship and really only exclusive game right now, releases on March 19th. And I am somebody that loves the game of baseball. It should shock none of you that, like, if I had to pick a primary sport, it would be that sport. I love talking about it. One of my favorite episodes that I've done recently was the one where I talked all about my division predictions. Go check out that episode, called Boys of Summer, where I just made my predictions for the upcoming season. I love it. I buy MLB The Show every year. I would love to get into contact with San Diego Studios because I have a few things that I would love to suggest to them to make the game as good as possible. But sometimes they just do the same thing over and over again. You're paying $60 for a roster update. That's happened, admittedly, and I've been guilty of paying for it before. But they're introducing something really interesting this year, and this feature's already gotten a lot of hate from some people online that may be trolls or whatever you want to call it. They're introducing a new career mode feature known as Women Pave Their Way. And for the first time in the history of baseball video games, you will be able to create a female player who then gets their own storyline to get to a path to the major leagues. I think it's odd for sure. It's odd, and some of you out there are taking the oddity of this mode way too seriously and saying there are no women in Major League Baseball, blah 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 blah. And all these reasons why this is dumb. But look, from what I understand, the Women Pave the Way storyline will not intersect with the normal storyline should you choose to start a regular Road to the Show like every other year. It won't have anything to do with it. But there are a lot of women baseball fans, and there are a lot of women who play video games. So why shouldn't they get an opportunity? And I'll admit to you that MLB The Show is just the latest in the line of video games to do this. NBA 2K did it. FIFA, that's now EAFC, did it. And I will probably create, because MLB The Show allows you to create multiple save files, multiple Road to the Show files, something that other games don't necessarily allow you to do all the time. I will test it out. I think it's really interesting, for women that love baseball and want to be a part of the baseball video game. That this doesn't mean that women are going to start playing Major League Baseball. That's not what it's just something in a game. It's something in a game that is rated E for everyone. So why shouldn't it be for everyone? And I'll tell you that I have in the past gone to the W in 2K and created a WNBA player. Yeah, like I've done that, and because online players and the developments to the online and the park and the city and that kind of stuff has required 2K to. And it's happened with a lot of games as the online community increases. 2K, playing the game casually has gotten more difficult because it's gotten to the point now where if you're trying to shoot in my career, you pretty much don't make it unless you get a perfect green release, unless you get a perfect shot. And that can be frustrating. So when I just decided, hey, let's check out the W. Let's see what it's all about. And found out that it was a lot easier to shoot. I'm gonna be honest with you, it was a lot more fun. Because I personally am not an online gamer. I'm somebody that likes to pick up the controller, play a couple series on MLB The Show, play a couple games of NBA 2K, career. I'm somebody that likes to play by myself, likes to play those career modes. And so the harder the career modes get based on the necessary challenges that need to be implemented for online players, the less fun it gets for a casual fan of the game like myself. And this goes for all games. I've noticed recently that it's much, much, much harder to hit home runs in MLB The Show because, in online, you have to get a perfect swing to get a no-doubt homer. And it makes it a little bit harder to hit in Road to the Show, a little bit harder to do this and that. And so one day I decided, let's do a WNBA player, see what it's like. I created one that had my same last name. I changed the first name so that it would be appropriate. And I just created a WNBA player. And it was a lot easier to play. It was a lot more fun to play because I could go out there. You hear terms like video game numbers. And it's been harder to put up those numbers in recent years because of the advent of online gaming and the need to create more challenges for those people that play those games. And so it's harder to put up video game numbers on your own. And so being able to do that in the WNBA and green a lot more shots and score a lot more, I played one season and I broke the WNBA single season scoring record. And it was a lot of fun. So I've done it. And I will do it again with the women pave their way. I will probably create a female player just to see what the storyline's like. I'm interested. And I think it's ridiculous that there are people out there being like, oh, I'm not going to buy this game because they did this and blah, 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 blah. One of the primary play-by-play people for ESPN, the biggest sports company in the world, is Jessica Mendoza. There are now female coaches. There are now this. Is it an odd addition to a game? Sure. But I think it's fun. I think that's what they're going for. I think it's a fun addition to grow the game because there are female players out there that love baseball and love video games. And before you say, oh, we'll give them their own softball league or give them or their own softball game. Okay, like the softball leagues, there are professional softball leagues. There is a women's professional fast pitch league. It's only got, I think, five, six teams. But baseball and softball are not the same. There are people that love baseball and don't like softball. It's just the way it is. Like, and I say people there. I've talked to women who are like, oh yeah, baseball's awesome, softball's whatever. And so baseball, softball are not the same thing. So you're allowed to like baseball, and if you want to see yourself in a baseball game, in a game mode that's created specifically for you, it's only going to take effect if you play that version of it. More power to you. In 2016, Fox released a series called Pitch, and it starred Kylie Bunbury as Jenny Baker, the first female Major League Baseball pitcher. Who pitched for the Padres. And it was a little bit, obviously you got to suspend disbelief as there have yet to be women in Major League Baseball, and I don't think we'll get to that point, at least not for a while. But this Jenny Baker in this show made it to the major leagues and played pretty well. And it was an entertaining show. I watched it. It was entertaining. It got canceled after one season, presumably due to the outcry from some trolls. They were like, oh, the women, and there are people online like that. I see some of those people in my comments when I talk about Caitlin Clark. And I'll admit, I am not the biggest watcher of the WNBA or of women's college basketball or any of these things. But I respect them. And if something happens like Caitlin Clark breaking Pistol Pete's scoring record, I'll talk about it. I'll congratulate her. Absolutely. But the comments that I get on shorts like that are some of the most vicious, I think, that I've seen. And one of the top comments on one of the videos was name one WNBA player or sorry name one female college player other than Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. And you know, I thought, I was like, I could give you a list. It's not a super long list. I could give you a list. But why do you feel the need to try to call me out as some kind of fake for bringing attention to a record that should be recognized? You know, there are other great college basketball players, and you can't deny that with players like Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, the game has grown in the last couple of years. So don't be one of those people online to be like, oh, it's a women's record, so it doesn't matter. Doesn't like there's no need to be sexist online. There's no need to be nasty online. If you do that, it says more about you than whoever you're talking about or talking to. That's all I'm going to say about that. But I did watch Pitch when it came out in 2016 because I was curious and I loved baseball. Any show about baseball, I'm going to watch. I've seen A League of Their Own, the movie. I haven't gotten a chance to watch the series. I think it got canceled after one season, but I'll probably still watch it. There are a lot of shows on my list. That's why I haven't gotten to it. Anything about baseball, I'm gonna watch or I'm gonna read. In fact, right here next to me is Big Data Baseball by Travis Sawchik. If you haven't read it, it's cool. It's nerdy. I like it. So anything about baseball is gonna have my attention. So I watched that show and it was fun, and I really liked it. And I didn't have to be like, oh, she's a woman. It would never happen. There's no need for me or anyone to be like that when whether or not a woman picks up a controller to play the special mode created for them in a movie, the show, or steps on a Major League Baseball field, it's not going to affect my life directly at all. It would be me just needing to be mad about something. So why should I put effort into that? I could choose to be angry about it and no longer enjoy the sport I love. Or I can continue to enjoy the sport I love and be like, oh, whatever people are mad about is trivial, and I just love watching this game. It's a lot easier. It's a lot easier to not be angry, guys. The last thing I want to talk about, and I feel like I've been preaching for most of this episode, and that's not what I like to do, but last thing I want to talk about, I want to end on a high note. As of yesterday, Joey Votto, who I feel comfortable in saying is one of the most likable players in Major League Baseball and has been for a long time, signed a minor league contract to an invite to spring training with the Toronto Blue Jays. And I love seeing that story. I love seeing his reaction to it because he was just on an interview on the Flipping Bats podcast with Ben Verlander where he said, where he's, and he's a very eloquent speaker, and it was a joy to hear him speak. He has a great sense of humor, but when he talks about baseball, he takes it very serious. He takes his role as an ambassador for Major League Baseball very, very seriously. And he said, yeah, I'm 40, but I feel like I have a lot left in the tank, and I want the game to tell me when I'm done. And some people might look at last season with the Reds, where he played 65 games and hit 202, as, oh, the game told you were done. And he's the first to be like, yeah, I was not healthy that season. I was injured all year and I just got on the field because I wanted to play, but I knew that I wasn't giving my best self. And so he and the Reds parted ways after the season. Even this week, Joey Votto was still in Cincinnati. But news came out that he signed a minor league deal with the Toronto Blue Jays, which kind of felt inevitable to me because you can always use more offense. I do think Joey has a little bit left in his bat at 40 years old. But Joey Votto is from Toronto. He's from Toronto. And he said as much in his tweet acknowledging the signing. He said, it is so good to be able to have a chance to fight my way back into the major leagues with my hometown team. And I love this for Joey. I love this for baseball. And I do not think he will break camp with the Blue Jays, as spring training is already half over. The year starts for all of Major League Baseball in a little less than 3 weeks. I do believe the Seoul Series starts in about 2 weeks, and he is 40 years old, and so I don't think he'll be up with the club at the start of camp. I would be very surprised, as he just reported yesterday, but I would not be surprised at all, and I'm very hopeful that we see Joey Votto in a Toronto Blue Jays uniform this season. Congratulations, Joey. If you happen to listen to this, if this happens to get to you, I would be honored to talk to you on this podcast. You are one of my favorite personalities in the game. You're such a thoughtful ambassador for baseball, and you're a funny guy. And I'd love to hear some of the stories you have to share. But congratulations, Joey Votto, to be given another chance with the Toronto Blue Jays. It'll be very weird to see him in a uniform that's not red. But it happens. It happened with one of my favorite football players of all time, Peyton Manning. It happens. So congratulations to Joey Votto on, at least for now, extending your professional baseball career. That's all I have for you on this shortened episode of Empire Sports Talk. Sorry if this one got a little preachy. There were just some things that I wanted to clarify. I'm Roman Gennaro for Empire Sports Talk. It's a great day to go 1-0, and I will see you next time.